You're not going to be limited by visible physical supply if you have removed your dependence upon physical, visible supply. All is a prelude to an awakening into heaven on earth. All part of the purification of our mental universe. Your transformation is your resurrection. Your change of belief in the acceptance of a spiritual universe in which there is no material substance. Unconditions the mind, makes you capable of accepting these images and thought without flinching. Cosmic shadows, knowing that they only appear to be out there. And then you do not try to overcome the cosmic shadow that has the name called disease, the cosmic shadow that has the name called pain, the cosmic shadow that has the name called defective organ, heart that won't beat, lung that won't pump, back that won't bend. You regard these as your shadows of thought. And you know that they had to have a beginning in time. They did not begin in God. And then you let the infinite wisdom of the Father within do the works, removing the thinking mind, the interfering mind, the conditioned mind. I have nothing to resist, nothing to overcome, nothing to heal. This is the developed consciousness that must come. For only through this developed consciousness will you remove the divisions that we have all placed into this universe with our minds. Nothing in God is divided. God is never divided from God. Spirit is never divided from itself. And spirit is all there is. You are never divided from spirit. You are never separated from spirit. And therefore the power of spirit is functioning in you now. You do not have to defend against any evil on this earth because the power of spirit can never be divided from your being. That evil can only be a shadow of thought. It isn't out there to fight. It isn't out there to reform or change. And the silence of the mind that is a transmitter for that thought is the end of the shadow, the end of the lie, the end of the evil that never was there to resist, no matter what name it had been given by world thought. We meet this universe in our hearts, in our consciousness, in our acceptance that I, being spirit, can never be divided from spirit, which is all, and therefore the perfection of spirit is functioning throughout my being. That perfection of spirit from which I can never be separated is the power. There is no power to oppose it, to create evil, to sustain evil, to perpetuate evil. And therefore there is no evil there. As your beliefs in evil are dropped, you find that the seeming external evils of the world are also dropped. They were nothing but projected beliefs. And now the veil is making way for that rising Christ. Now the water of humanhood is being transformed to the wine of spirit. The transformation is not in the future. The transformation is in the consciousness now. We feel the depth of our being. We feel the dissolution of a self that never was as the new self rises to the fore. The self that can look out upon the world and say there is nothing here except the Spirit of God. And all that appears is a cosmic image called the world. One cosmic image called the world. Never external to myself, existing only as a cosmic shadow of thought. There is nothing in the world that I must resist. Nothing. Not one thing, not one person, not one condition, not one situation. My resistance gives it a false sense of life. And that is what it breeds upon. The moment I wish to defend against it, I strengthen it. This duality has been the cause of every form of suffering on this earth. In your single pointed desire to know only God, only the truth, only the Spirit, refusing to let anything else intervene in your life that might prevent your knowing God aright, you will find the strength, the courage, and the wisdom from within to reject all that is unlike God as a shadow of thought. This great faculty develops, which hears, sees, feels, and knows spiritually, and says, I need no sword to defend against this world, for I alone exist. I, the living spirit of the living God. Then the Father who seeth in secret becomes your realized eternal life. This is our path. It would be so easy to take an easier way, a more comfortable way, but ultimately the error would show up, as it has. We won our freedom 200 years ago with a sword, and we find now that that sword is turned against us in many places. We find the truth of his statement, those who live by the sword shall die by it. We haven't had peace in these 200 years. Those who have died in the wars have died by the same sword that we used to obtain our freedom. We have closed our eyes to these things. We have talked about noble causes. Now the courage and sense, the understanding is coming to this race that the words that were spoken were meant not to be ignored, not to be discussed, to be lived, to become our consciousness expressing itself as a total non-resistance to unreality. There are no soldiers attacking. There is no material universe. There is only my Father Spirit. And in that acceptance, you will feel the unreality of the forms that move in your consciousness. You will feel their unsubstantial nature, their lack of support from spirit, their being bred in the ignorance of man's knowledge that only God is here. We begin to feel this shell-like world, this one-dimensional papier-mâché universe. And we lose our fear of it, our dependence upon it. The bread alone no longer entices us. The rising wisdom of the Christ is cutting away the illusions of the mind of man. How far we're from it individually, only you can tell yourself. And the degree to which we come to it individually will determine the degree to which we come to it collectively. Every time you release the Christ of your being by removing the false sense of life, you are bringing light to the world. And the light that is brought to the world by others, plus the light that you are bringing, is overturning and overturning and overturning the false consciousness of man. Fear is giving way. And love is fulfilling the law of truth. You find that love bursting through you with such force that it will be impossible to return to the consciousness of yesterday. Now you must bear witness to that as the truth behind every neighbor. There is no neighbor coming up the freeway with a gun. There is only a spiritual self there. And I, the Spirit, bear witness to the spirit of every man. He has no evil to bring me, for he is the living spirit itself. You can find the way to do this in your consciousness. And as you loose the world for from its material beliefs in your consciousness, you will find you are loosing yourself. As you loose Lazarus, you are freed from the belief in matter and liberated into spiritual reality. You are no longer bound because you are not binding your neighbor. We have Paul's statement here in 1 Corinthians, 13th chapter, 10th verse. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. He's referring to the good and the evil of this world, which is perfect in part, will be done away when that which is perfect is come. As we catch the spiritual light, the illusions of the flesh are dissolved. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. The great vision there is that the childish things are the material beliefs of this world. And just as a child plays with its toys and puts them away eventually, so Paul is saying that we play with the material things of this world until we mature spiritually. And then we have no need for our toys anymore. The material things now become seen for what they are, toys of our childhood. And now we play not with the toys, not with the material things, but rather we sow to the Spirit. We live in the Spirit. We abide in the Spirit in living revelation. We let the Spirit live itself in and through us as us. And then you see why he could say, for now, here in this material consciousness, we see through a glass darkly. But then, after the light, after the acceptance of a spiritual universe, face to face, now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. And so we can measure our spiritual adulthood by the degree to which we have placed aside the toys of matter, the world concepts, the beliefs. One of the subtleties of this is that while you're doing it, you probably still have a tendency to downgrade yourself. You think your intelligence isn't great enough to grasp the truth of spirit, or you have a guilt complex about a past. In some way, every time you downgrade yourself, you're falling into the trap of thinking of yourself as the very material self that the Bible is trying to lift you out of, for it never was you. There are no good qualities in you. There are no evil qualities in you. And when you think of yourself as possessing good qualities or evil qualities, you are still living with the toys. The Master says, "Why callest thou me good? I have no good qualities, nor can you call me evil, for I have no evil qualities. I am the Spirit, and the Spirit only has divine qualities." So every time that you, in some way, feel that you are failing, you are calling God a failure. You are denying your spiritual selfhood. Do you see then that every form of self-abasement that you may practice, every guilt, every fear, every belief that is not divine, is your rejection of your true self. The Antichrist working to hypnotize you into the belief that you're someone other than you are. You only have perfect divine qualities. For there are no other qualities anywhere. And as these are accepted, they are exercised, they express, they move through the consciousness of one who accepts himself or herself to be that divine self. And then you find the great truth that all of the divine qualities of the Spirit are ever present. There are none withheld, none lacking. Limitation was illusion. How can the Spirit of God be limited? You had limited yourself to your finite mind's concept of this world, and therefore you thought you were limited. But the you that is limited is not God's creation. The you that is limited never was created and has no real existence. The you that is lacking was never created by God and has no real existence. The you that in any way is showing forth a quality unlike God is not you. For God created nothing but his divine image and likeness. To accept this is to not reject yourself. Now, the glass darkly is the belief that I can be something unlike God. I cannot. No matter what I do or say or how evil I may appear, I cannot be something unlike God. For there is nothing unlike God, except cosmic shadows or images without reality. And you don't have to do anything about those images without reality, other than to recognize them as just that. And then to your amazement, as you go on your way, doing nothing about them, and not letting them live in your consciousness, they will starve to death. Those images will disappear, and that which is there, the divine image and likeness of the Father, will visibly reveal itself as the health of your countenance, as the vigor of your form, as the perfection of your being. For the ideas of the divine mind are ever present in their fullness throughout this infinite universe. All divine ideas are omnipresent in the Spirit, and they are never separated from the Spirit. In our human sense of things, we see a cause today, and 4 months later, we see an effect from that cause. But we are seeing the cause now and the effect 4 months from now, whereas in the Spirit, the cause and the effect are already contained and completed without 4 months to harvest. Cause and effect are one in Spirit. They are never separated by time. All that is an effect out here is already a completed reality in the Spirit. And so you can accept that every divine idea and its completion, both being in the Spirit, are fully complete now. And nothing, no power on this earth, can separate cause and effect in Spirit. The cause, the expression of that cause, the effect of that cause, the manifestation of that cause are complete and inseparable throughout eternity. That which we see out here as a bad effect has no reality. That which we see out here as a good effect has no reality. All that is real is the invisible cause and effect ever perfectly expressing. And whether our concept of it in the outer is good or evil does not change its perfection, which is ever present. You can depend on that ever present perfection. Always to be there in spite of the appearances that you are seeing with your sense mind. And you must learn to accept that ever-present perfection. You accept that the message which was sent in the mails, delayed by the post office, is already delivered in spirit, is a finished fact. That all that is in spirit is a finished fact. That nothing that will transpire in the outer is a newness. It is nothing but a delayed extension in time of that which is already in spirit a finished fact. And the finished facts of spirit are all there are, and they are perfect, and they are now. You stop walking in the extensions in time. You stop accepting them as the reality, but know them to be nothing but the outer images of the finished perfection in spirit. And then you're sowing not to the image, not to the effect, not to the time appearance. You're sowing to the spirit, and you're living in the now of spirit. This habit of living in that spiritual now of being, in the perfection that is invisible to human sense, is a further part of the preparation for the ultimate revolution in which you attain the realization of the resurrected self. You must live in his universe and not in a make-believe mental universe of images called physical forms. You must prove out the non-power of these mental images, and you must open the vacuum so that the splendor of the spirit that is present can shower forth its blossoms, its fruitage, its truth, its release, its light. The prize that we are all working for is to deny the self-indulgence of the false self, which wants to make this a better world. And to realize that our function is not to make this a better world. Our function is to live in my Father's kingdom, which is not this world, but which is here where this world appears. The world has stumbled by trying to improve this world. You cannot improve non-existence. This world is nothing more than the added things. the kingdom of God that we are to walk in is our own spiritual selfhood. The added things will take care of themselves. This is how we'll break the barrier of a limited life, hemmed in by time on each end. Now, as a revelation to me, it has come that transformation is not a tomorrow thing, nor is it an attainment. It is an experience in your own consciousness that you already are. All that you aspire to be. When I say it's a revelation to me, I mean this. We all have heard it and read it and seen it and said it, but it's a revelation to you when it happens to you. Then it is yours. Then it isn't something you've seen or heard or read. It's something that in that instant is talking to you and saying, now be transformed from water to wine. Recognize yourself. Now. Know who you are. Now find the higher self. Now find the deeper self. Now reach out for those new dimensions that you already are. Don't try to become. But drop away the illusion of what you are so that what you really are is an experience of your being. That kind of a revelation comes to us all, in which we feel these inner depths and we feel the false mental concept of ourself being dissolved. There never was an individual imprisoned in a physical form. There never was an individual limited by a human mind. That image of us is nothing but a cosmic shadow. All there is of us is the precise statement of the Father. In my own image and likeness have I made thee. And it is not a physical self, therefore. It is not a mental self. It is the very spirit itself. That is the transformation in which you drop your concepts of self, which the world has given you, which you have added to in time, and recognize that I must be what God says I am. Until the false sense of self like the stone that is shaped by the flowing water, this false sense of self slowly drops away as the living waters of spirit shape the new awareness of being. Accept, let go. That is not attaining. That is realizing. We are all that one. And this is how the new consciousness of the world will now outpicture a new earth. As each of us drop those false beliefs about ourselves, accepting spiritual identity, and then the purer expression of being will outpicture as a new world. Now, this is really a two-part lesson. This part is the removal of the desire or the belief that there is a need to resist, so that we can in the second part of our message on Easter Sunday. Come to the meeting with an awareness that I, the Spirit, am all that is here. I can bring no ailments because I have none. I can bring no false beliefs because I have none. All I can bring is the awareness that I am the living Spirit of God. And in that, we will experience the risen Christ. For we shall be the one living itself without the interference of a human mind, setting up a second channel of thought, finite, limited, opposites, in the absence of the false sense of self, the one self, will be both student and teacher. The one immortal self expressing itself. So let us prepare for that resurrection class. And if we do not plan to be here in the flesh, no matter where you are, you can be here in the Spirit. For the Spirit that you are can never be divided from the Spirit in this classroom. If we are in consciousness. That is how ultimately the power of spirit will express where you stand, nullifying all that is contrary to itself. As you are one with the spirit of your being, you are one with the Father. And then my power, in your oneness with my being in you, must flow through you, unopposed, liberating, sustaining, teaching, guiding, lifting, blessing. You'll find it in the first book of John, his letter, I in the midst of thee. I am the key to the kingdom. I in the midst of thee can do all that every machine on this earth is trying to do. All that every invention in the minds of men has tried and will continue trying to do. I in the midst of thee am the living power of God. And there is none other. And that is the revelation, not of the power of God in you, but of the power of your own being. For I in the midst of you is the revelation that I in the midst of you and you are one and the same. There is no in the midst of you. There is only I. And as you graduate from the words in the midst to the realization that I in the midst of you is the revelation that I am you, you will rest from the sense mind which thinks there is another I than this I, which is the eye of the Father. I am the resurrection. Because I am the only life. Yourself is the only life. Yourself will never be resurrected. Only your consciousness of that self is called the resurrection. Yourself needs no resurrection, ever. It is the self of God. The experience of that self will give you all the confidence you'll ever need to know that there is no evil on this earth to be resisted. That is the great prize for which we sell all that we possess, the realization that I and the self that is God are one, identical, one and the same. And all that is not that I am not. Resurrection is the return to reality. We have dropped our toys. This is where we shall begin next week and hope to share an experience with you here or wherever you are. Meanwhile, to those who will not be here, a very joyous Easter. To those who will be, we hope that during this intervening time, you will work on the principle of transformation where you are, so that you can bring with you this enlightened consciousness to join with those around you in an experience of the risen Christ. Much love, and see you soon.